Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'd like to start out today with a story about a time when Beth and I really messed up as parents. It goes back to 2003 in St. Louis when Naomi was about 3 years old. One night, Naomi had a cold, as happens, and we decided to give her a little bit of medicine, a teaspoon of children's whatever to help her sleep, and she went to sleep, we went to sleep, all's well. Until somewhere in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I thought I heard something in the bathroom. Wasn't sure if there was anything. Convinced myself to get out of bed a minute later and check it out. I looked, and Naomi was asleep in her bed, and then I went to the bathroom, and I looked on the sink, and there was the bottle, waiting there with a cap off of it, and it was in the sink, draining out, and medicine all over the place, and whoa, we got a problem here, Houston. I was afraid she'd overdosed on medicating herself as a little three-year-old. So I was alarmed, but got Beth up. She panicked. We were in the car in 30 seconds and off down to the hospital. We called the hospital ER. They said, just try to keep her awake until you get here. She's in the back. She was pretty drunk. Her eyes were closing, but we kept her awake. And by the time we got there and they checked her out, they said there was really no harm to her. She'd just be a little sleepy. And she did have to drink this charcoal ash-like drink to kind of neutralize anything that's down there or absorb it. So, what? You still remember that night? All right. And it had no ill effects on you, right? Wow. Yeah, I remember that night really well myself. And it was really Mommy and Daddy messing up there and leaving the bottle that night by accident down where she could try to medicate herself. And so my point here in sharing this, though, is that when you have a trouble and something goes wrong in your body, what do? You go to a doctor who knows how to help you be well again, right? Well, when we have something that goes wrong in our soul and in our heart, where do you go? We got to go to a doctor who can make you healed and whole again. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have some aches and pains in your heart that are grieving you? Well, Jesus in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 9 says that he is the physician. And he's the good physician who has the ability to heal you in your heart. And in fact, like any good doctor, he has his bag of medicines. And his medicines are the Word of God through which he ministers to us. And I tell you, no matter what it is today, whether it be fear or an anxiety or guilt or shame or overconfidence or whatever it is, he has the medicine for it in his holy word. But a lot of times we, like Naomi, just mismedicate ourselves. And we're like a three-year-old. And we'll take even the word of God and apply the wrong scriptures to our situation and only, like she in that case, make matters worse. So what I'd like to do with you today is to teach you about understanding God's medicine, how Jesus, as our good physician, will minister to you today through his word, and how you can take his medicine at home yourselves in the right proportion according to the doctor's directions to the healing of your own souls. So let's talk about this then. What kind of medicine does God have in his holy word? Well, if I may, let's divide that down into two basic types of medicine. One we'll call the law, and the other kind we will call the gospel. The law, if you look in scriptures, would be the kinds of things where God commands you, his righteous commands. These things you are to do. It shows you what you're supposed to do for God. And this is a good medicine. It not only teaches us the way, but also it shows us our sin. God's commandments show how far we've fallen from his standards, and it leads to repentance. And believe me, this is a thunderous, powerful medicine from Mount Sinai, from Moses, to help us to come to repentance and see our need for a Savior. This kind of medicine, the law, is to be administered to people who are hardened in their sins, or who are proud or arrogant, and who need especially to be broken. Now, once you're saved, you can use the law also as a guide to how to please God, but especially when you're having heart trouble at home or some other ailment inside you, you want to administer this if it's a hardened heart or pride. That's what this says right here in the directions, hardened heart or pride. Take 2 tablespoons and call the physician in the morning. Once you are broken of your sins, then comes the gospel. Not what you must do, but what God has done for you in Christ to give you a salvation all as a free gift, sheer grace and reconciliation and his kindness, his steadfast love, his promises never to leave you nor forsake you, and all such things. The gospel. So the law and the gospel, two different types of medicine, but they got to be applied to two different kinds of people. This one to hard hearts, if that's your ailment or sin. This one to a broken heart over sin to heal and make you whole again. As it is written, see now that I, even I, am he, says the Lord. There is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. So, are you with me? Let's take a look at some scriptures then to see how this plays out. How our Lord, the good physician, applies these two different medicines in two different cases. Because in the scriptures, there's only 2 times this phrase occurs. What must I do to inherit eternal life, to be saved? That only occurs 2 times in the Bible. You know that? Jesus says, keep the commandments. Paul says, believe on the Lord and you'll be saved. Which one's right? Are they contradictory to each other? No. Let's take a look. They're applied to 2 different people. Mark chapter 10. We go to verse 17. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I've observed from my youth. Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And at this it says, his countenance fell. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, what's going on here? Is Jesus saying that you're going to be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments and the law? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Keep the commandments. Is Jesus saying you can be your own Savior? Well, that law, if he could keep it, could save him. But this command, he could not keep those commandments. The guy thought, well, of course, I've kept all these commandments, Lord, from the beginning. In other words, the first dose didn't really take, did it? So Jesus looks into his heart, finds a sin that, as God, he can see this. This man holds on to the love of money. Let's now apply the dose of the law one more time. He drinks it, and all of a sudden he is broken by this medicine. It breaks up his pride and his arrogance. Because notice what it says here. It says, at that saying, at Jesus' word and medicine, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this is what the law does. If I were to apply this medicine to you right now and say, to be right with God, you need to keep all God's commandments perfectly. Are your countenances, are your faces going to be bright and shining and beaming? Well, you might say, well, I've kept all these. Well, I could look into each one of your hearts and find a sin and name it. Say, well, how about this with you? and I give you another dose, you'd eventually be sorrowful too. But you know what? This medicine comes from God. This medicine is good. And it has a desired purpose to break people of their sins. And God will never give you this if your ailment is pride and arrogance and self-righteousness and I can be my own savior. This is the medicine, says right here, to be given for the ailments of pride, self-righteousness, and a hardened heart. Take as often as directed, which is all the time until you're broken. So Jesus said this in Luke 5. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you think you can save yourself, be your own savior? Then I'll give you the law until you say, you can't. I can't save myself. This breaks you. And Paul said of the law that through it he gets the knowledge of sins, Romans 3. The law brings wrath, Romans 4. Romans 7, the law cannot save. Romans 7 again, the law shows our sin to be sinful beyond measure. And so this medicine, though it hurts you, is a good medicine. You gotta get better, worse, before you can get better. You got to be brought low before you can be healed. You got to be killed before you can be made alive again. And that's why when Jesus looked into this man's heart, he said, this man's not ready for this one. This man needs this one. But let's look now at another scenario. Okay? Because you've got to be able to apply this to yourself when necessary. About midnight, this is Acts 16, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. Now they're in prison in Philippi. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors of the prison were opened and everyone's fetters were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in the house, and he took them the same hour of the night, washed their wounds, and he baptized them at once. He was baptized at once with all his family. Then he brought them up into the house and set food before them. He rejoiced with all his household that he had believed in God. You tell me now, what's the difference? The first man came to Jesus proud. Was this man proud? Was he arrogant? Was he self-righteous? Or was he humbled? It says here, there was a great earthquake, and the man, when he woke up, so he must have been hit by a brick or something, when he woke up after all the dust was settling, what did he want to do? He wanted to kill himself. He was ready to slay himself with a dagger. Was it because of the earthquake that he was afraid? Earthquake's over. No. Was it the Roman soldiers? Partially, because if he lets them escape, he'll be killed by them. But you notice what his real fear is? There's a clue in the text. It says he fell at Paul and Silas's feet with fear and trembling and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" What was his fear? It wasn't the Romans. That's not on his radar. What was on his radar was God. I'm afraid of his judgments. I've heard you singing all night. I've heard you speaking the word. I know you're here on account of Jesus. And now this great earthquake, I need to be saved. What must I do? This man has had the dose of the law. He is so broken. What proceeds then from Paul and Silas' lips to such a man? Was there a word of law? Do this and you shall live. Keep the Ten Commandments. No, not any of those things at all. Only a word of sheer grace, which was, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. That's it. Not what you must do, but what God has done for you, and you receiving it. by faith. And so you see, in these two different scenarios, one is to be administered to hard hearts, one to broken hearts. Let me now get to you. Where is your heart today? Are you in need of law? Are you in need of gospel? The trouble is a lot of times we're like a three-year-old Naomi. We think, I feel sort of wounded in my heart, Lord. I'll go and drink from your word, whatever. It's like the man who opened up the Bible. Just randomly, he goes, okay. He comes to the verse, Judas went and hanged himself. He opens the next verse, go and do thou likewise. You can't just apply any verse to any situation. There's law and there's gospel. You got to know what your ailment is. And so if you are considering sinning, if you are hardened in your heart, if you think that, you know, you can skip out on hearing the word and preaching and still be okay, you don't need gospel, my friend. You need law. You need to be broken. You need to be put in the fear of the Lord. But if you are broken, and as is often the case, we're feeling like, God, I feel you're so far from me. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I've repented of my sins, but I just feel so weak. I'm so fearful of you. I'm so afraid. I feel all alone. I feel no confidence, no courage. Then you don't need any more law. That's the effect of the law. It's done its work. What you need is gospel. You need the Lord Jesus has died for you. You need, there is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. You need, be strong and of good courage, for I am with you. All these are scripture verses. You ask, what if it doesn't work? What if I apply these and it doesn't help? Answer, read the directions on the label. What's it say? Take as often as directed until symptoms disappear. All right? If you're feeling down and a little bit of gospel doesn't help, keep drinking the gospel. If you're feeling proud and you have not yet been broken or see your need for a Savior, keep drinking the law. And do you see how this opens up healing for you? And also, all of God's Word, you can actually understand all of God's Word now in a new way. Let me ask you this question. Did Jesus come to bring peace or a sword? Peace, sword, both. You're right. Both peace and a sword. He says, don't think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. That's Matthew 10. But then in John 14, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Which one's true? They're both true. One is to hard hearts. I'm going to break people of their sin and divide. But then once broken, I come to bring you peace. How about this? Should we fear God in our lives or not? Yes. Anybody say no? No, don't fear God. Okay, we should do both of those because it says here in Luke 12, I tell you, my friends, don't fear those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I'll warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. How about that? That's the law to a hard heart. But then to those who have had that word affect their hearts and they're broken, in the very next verse, Jesus says, aren't five sparrows sold for two pennies? Not one is forgotten before your God. Why, even every hair of your head is numbered. Fear not, therefore. You're of more value than many sparrows. Don't be afraid of God at all. Yes, fear him. He has that power. But then once broken, don't be afraid. Your God has come to heal you. And once you are saved, you walk in the peace of God, not fearing him. But if you're tempted to sin and want to forget God and skip church and skip his word, you need the law. Fear him. Are we saved by faith alone or by works? Faith alone, right? Paul says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not because of works. But then we have James say, you see a man is justified by works, not by faith alone. Is there a contradiction in the Bible? You solve it for me. You solve this mystery, oh, detectives. Answer, we're talking to two different kinds of people. James is writing to people who think, I've received Paul's gospel. I don't have to do anything. I can go out and sin. He says, no, you need to be working along with your faith. Faith without works is dead. But then to those who think they'll be saved by the law, no, it's by grace alone through faith. Good works simply attend a living faith. You follow what I'm saying? One person is. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. Because until you get it, I'm going to keep preaching here. I am on the last page, so take heart. Let me give you one more here. Jesus began to upbraid the towns, Matthew 11. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. What is that, law or gospel? Law, right? And who's he preaching to? The towns that refused to believe in him. Proud, arrogant, hard hearts. God has to come in like a hammer to break them. But guess what? Just a couple verses later, you have the sweetest, kindest, gentlest words of our Savior found in Scripture, where he says, now to you, you who have heard my law, come unto me. All you who are weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. From gentle and lowly in spirit, and you'll find rest for your souls. Which one do you need today? Which medicine when you apply it? Are you of the hard heart? Are you of the one who thinks he doesn't need to come to church? Are you of the one who thinks he can be his own savior? Well, you need the law and not one drop of this one. You need this until you despair that you can't save yourself. But my friends, once you have gotten to that point by God's good medicine of the law, I tell you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. Because God has come to be the good physician, to heal you of all your diseases. And therefore, we have even such a great physician that he was willing to drink the poison of sin itself and to die for you. This is your physician, people, to die for you that you might be forgiven. Conclude then with Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And with his stripes, we are healed. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll please stand. We'll confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 9. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, ascended into heaven, rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.